you're all spunky and full of energy this evening. Yeah, all right. Y'all are not very convincing. Do we need to stand up and stretch out, maybe walk around a little bit? No. That's what I do at work when I see everybody. All right, stand up. Okay, so I was talking the other day with my mom, and we were talking about, you know, how people end up in their lives, right? You live a... Thank you. You're down. Yeah. Sign language, sorry, y'all. So how some people end up in their lives, and people... Some people prosper, you know, end up in a pretty good place. And others, you know, and I don't mean prosper financially. I mean, you know, just have goodness in their life. And others, not so much. And my mom has always been a person of a lot of common sense and wisdom. And she said, well, and there was a couple of folks that we were kind of concerned about. And she said, you know, the difference is they've been leaning that way for a very long time. They've been working on getting there, you know? So I got to thinking about the paths that we take in our lives and where choices might play a role in that. You know, Brother Ken talked the other night about Moses. God had told Moses to speak to the rock to get some water. And instead, Moses decided to strike the rock, though. Right here. So he decided to strike the rock. And because of that disobedience, we have technical difficulties, y'all. First, I think it's that air duct down there, Brother Chris. And now I'm trying to... We okay now, brother? All right. So God says, speak to the rock, and Moses struck the rock. It's a minor difference, but you know it's a... It's a difference, and it's a choice. It's a choice Moses made contrary to what God had for him in his life. It was a choice he made contrary to instruction. You know, and if you think about Saul, think back to Saul before he lost God's favor. Saul was supposed to wait on God's man to do the sacrifice. Saul made a decision that, I got this. I'll fill this role. And Saul gave up a kingdom, basically, when he got too big for his britches and started trying to do God's man's job. So he lost God's favor. Something's not right. So he lost God's favor. And it was all a choice. It was a decision to go against what God told him to do. So I was thinking about the favor that many of you have taken in your lives, and you're experiencing some good things, and the value that you have, or the value you can add to your life by making the right choices. Now, I'm not talking about God's going to load up a dump truck of money and dump it in your front yard. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about goodness happening around you. Even when things are not so good, having the support of goodness around you because you've chosen God's way. There's God's way and there's the hard way. The Scripture tells us that our yoke is easy and our burdens are light when we're yoked with God. And He carries those burdens for us. Or we can decide that we're big enough and we can take them on. We can decide that we can fill that role. We can decide to strike the rock. We can decide to do the sacrifice ourselves, or we can do it God's way and keep ourselves in a position where God can bless us. See, when we deviate from God's way, it cripples God from being able to bless us. Because how is He going to bless you acting like that? I love to give my kids things. I love to just give them something that they really wanted and make them happy. But when they act a certain way, when they act too proud or act too spoiled, I can't bless that. I can't give it to them, Brother Ken, because it'll make them worse, and it'll reinforce that behavior. You don't think God, as you know, the Bible even talks about that. As wicked as I am, if I want to do good things for my children, and if they'll just let me do it, I'll do it. How much more could He do for us if we would make the right choices in our lives and put ourselves in a position where God can bless us? And it's not just us, it's those around us as well. Because we can make a decision that affects other people's lives, right? I'm suffering from decisions that my grandfather made. I sure am. I've lost things in my life, and I don't even know him. Never met him. But I'm suffering from things in my life that for choices that he made. I don't dwell on it. I've lost things because of choices my dad made. Right? And my children will probably lose some things because of choices, or maybe already have lost some things because of the choices I've made. I know for sure I've lost things because of the choices I've made. So on this path of life, we come to decision points all the time. We decide whether we want to belong to God or we want to belong to ourselves, basically. And along this path, we got a lot of decisions to make. So let's turn in our Bibles, and I just want to look at one journey that David took, okay? 1 Samuel chapter 30. I want to pick out some things out of this journey that David took where he had made some choices. First Samuel chapter 30. And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites were invaded the south, and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. So David and his men come up on this city, and everything was gone, everything they loved, especially their family. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. David wept right there with them. Have you ever wept till you had no more power to weep? I'm sure some of us have, and I hope you can count it on one hand. I really do. But that's where David was. And David's two wives were taken captives. I don't want to talk about why anybody would want two wives, but he had them. In verse 6, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. Okay. How about being the leader, Brother Ken? Things are going bad, and they're talking about stoning the leader. That's a tough spot to be sometimes. But David was weeping right there with him, at least to start with. But you got to remember, David had seen some things in his life. He had killed some wild beast under God's power, a lion and a bear. He had slain Goliath with just a simple stone and a sling. And David knew that his God had power. So he reached out to God, and he became encouraged. It said David encouraged himself in the Lord. He had a choice to make right there in that bad situation. It goes on to say that he went and got the ephod and he sought the Lord's guidance on what to do. So he had a choice to make. Things were really tough. Things seemed hopeless, and he had a choice to make. He chose to seek God. And in God, he found encouragement. He found encouragement in his faith in God. And verse 7, "And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, Shall I pursue after this troop?" He looked for a direction. He had a choice on whether to go on his own and chase the captors, or he had a choice to ask for God's direction. He chose to ask for God's direction. And he said, "If I do go, shall I overtake them?" And he answered to him, "Pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all." So David sought God's will, and God gave him direction, and God gave him hope. So David was in a situation much like he was looking at Goliath. He had a bunch of people that didn't believe they could win. He had a faith in God, and he had a personal encouragement that he could win. And that's all David needed to take charge and to go. And it turns out, David pursued, he and 400 men. And you, if you think about it, this was a group of folks that were ready to stone David a few minutes ago, a few verses ago. And now he's found encouragement from the Lord, and he stepped up as a leader, and he's got some followers now. He's got 400 men to follow him. "For 200 abode behind, which were so faint that they could not go after the brook, over the brook Besor." We're in verse 10 now. On this travel to go get these folks who had taken their wives and children, they found an Egyptian in the field, and they brought him to David and gave him bread, and he did eat, and they made him to drink water, and they gave him a piece of cake of figs and two clusters of raisins. If you think about that, where do raisins come from? Right? I thought they came in a box, but evidently they come in clusters. "And when he had eaten, his spirit came again unto him, for he had eaten no bread nor drunk any water for 3 days and three nights." So this is jumping around a little bit, but there's something important about this Egyptian that they found. They found this Egyptian that was on his last leg. He'd been left basically for dead by his master. And David had a choice whether or not to show kindness. And he decided to show kindness. Now, we have a choice every day whether or not to show kindness to the people around us. Some people don't matter, so you think. Some people don't look like much, so you think. Some people are equal to an Egyptian slave that's taking his last breath. That doesn't look like he's any use to anybody. He must not be, because his master left him. He's probably no use to you. So you think. There are people that I met 20 years ago on my job when I was 20 years younger and barely knew where the bathrooms were. Some of those people were kind to me. Some of those people were not. I remember them all. Okay? I remember the people who encouraged and were kind to me. I remember the people who didn't. I don't hold grudges. Don't take this wrong. But a lot of those people report up through my structure now. I'm not saying I'm anything, okay? Don't take me wrong. But that young kid didn't matter. The people you interface with may not seem to matter. But we can show a little kindness. It doesn't hurt anybody. It doesn't cost you anything. I was in the cafeteria today, and there's a sandwich station in the cafeteria. I walk up to the counter, and there's a young kid back there. There's two people working. There's a young kid back there, and the person in front of me ordered a sandwich. He says, "I can't do that. I don't know that sandwich." So he moved. He said, "Ask this other guy." So he went to the other guy, and the other guy made it for him. So I walked up, and I said, "Well, do you know how to make a turkey? What did I call it? What's those things that you, it's a hot sandwich? It's like a, anyway, I'll think of it in a minute. But anyway, it's just a simple turkey sandwich." He said, "I can do that." I said, "All right, I'll take one." I told him what I wanted on it, and he said, "This is my first day." I said, "Okay, all right, well, come on." I told him I wanted turkey on it four times. four times because he kept getting distracted. He's like, oh, I got to go check this. I got to check that. And he says, so what do you want on it? I said, okay, I'll take you some turkey. He come back again because he didn't get me my turkey. He was just kind of, he said, what would you like on it? I said, I believe I'll have some turkey. And I did it that way every time because I was just wanting to be nice. I was thinking, be nice. He got through the turkey, and now it was time for tomatoes, and it was a similar experience, okay? But eventually we got everything on the sandwich. And he went and put it in the little press, and he brought it back to me, and he didn't slice it. I forgot to tell him to slice it, but that was all right. I got through it, okay? So he's sitting there, and he's about to close the thing up, and I said, you know what that sandwich looks like? He said, what? I said, that looks like somebody's been making sandwiches for a long time. That boy's face lit up, and he smiled from ear to ear. First day on the job, he doesn't know what to expect. Line of people, are they going to be mean to him? He doesn't know. You know, why not just be nice? We're going to meet people along the way, and we've got an opportunity to be kind. We've got an opportunity to be kind. So they gave this Egyptian some clusters of raisins and gave him some cake and got his energy back. And David asked him in verse 13, David said unto him, to whom belongest thou, and whence art thou? And he said, I am a young man of Egypt, servant to the Amalekite, and my master left me because 3 days agone I fell sick. We made an invasion upon the south of the Cherethites, and upon the coast which belongeth to Judah, and upon the south of Caleb, and we burn Ziglag with fire. He was with the people that burned the city and took the wives and children of David and his men. And David said unto him, David could have said unto him, ha, now that I got breath in you, I'll just go ahead and take it back. He had that option. David said unto him, canst thou bring me down to this company? And he says, swear unto me by God that thou wilt neither kill me nor deliver me unto the hands of my master, and I will bring thee down to the company. And when he had brought him down, behold, they were spread abroad upon all the earth, eating and drinking and dancing because of all the great spoil of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah. And here comes the part that we like, because God kept his blessing on David. And David smote them from the twilight even unto the evening of the day. And there escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men which rode upon camels in the field. And David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives. Because David made some good choices, because he made choices that allowed God to bless and protect him, because David took God's direction, got God's encouragement, humbled himself before God, trusted God, and showed some kindness along the way, he was in the perfect position for God to bless him and to restore to him that which was taken. And that's exactly what God did. It looked bleak along the way. It looked very serious for David and his men. David's men were so upset that the way David had led them, they were about to stone him. He went from being nearly stoned to being restored. Only God can do that. You can't make this stuff up. Only God can put you in a place of restoration. Only God can encourage you when things are lost. Not when they appear lost. When they are lost, they are gone. You can't reach out and grab them anymore. Only God can restore that. And there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great. When God restores, He restores. There are no gaps in what God builds. There are no holes in what God gives. God is God. He's everything. He's our strength. He's our beginning. He's our end. He's our Messiah. He's our sacrifice. He's our friend. He's our creator. He is everything. Get bigger than that. You have made a choice that God cannot bless. Get bigger than that in your actions. Get bigger than that in our minds. Get bigger than that in our spirits. And God can't continue to bless us. He cannot keep a shield of protection around us. We must stay in a position where He can bless us and make the choices that He would have us make. Does that mean we have to be perfect? No. But we got to be seeking God. We got to be looking for God to direct our paths. So, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil nor anything that they had taken to them, David recovered all. And David took all the flocks and the herds which they drave before those other cattle and said, "This is David's spoil." He took ownership of it. He claimed it on behalf of God. And David, okay, here we go. Y'all remember the 200 men that decided to stay back because they were tired and faint? We got another opportunity to see some wisdom here, okay? They didn't go with David. They didn't fight from twilight till dark. But they were associated with that family. They were associated with that leader that was making these choices on their behalf. And David came to the 200 men, which were so faint that they could not follow David, whom they had made also to abide at the brook Besor. And they went forth to meet David and to meet the people that were with him. And when David came near to the people, he saluted them. Then answered all the wicked men and men of Belial. There's always an opinion out there, okay? There's always advisors. There are always people that would love to tell you how to make choices. And they're smart. And they have logic. And they can help you reinforce decisions that are pleasing to your flesh. Because we're already leaning that way. We're already hungry for that, okay? We already want more. We already want mine. And quite frankly, if we all told the truth, we want yours too. But God can't bless us taking yours. God can only bless us when we're satisfied with mine, right? Then answered all the wicked men and the men of Belial, of those that went with David, and said, "Because they went not with us, we will not give them aught of the spoil that we have recovered, save to every man his wife and his children, that they may lead them away and depart." David, they didn't go with us. They didn't take the chances. They didn't fight. They don't deserve to get their stuff back. We went and captured the stuff back. It's ours. Send them away. Then said David, "Ye shall not do so, my brethren. With that which the Lord hath given us, who hath preserved us and delivered the company that came against us into our hand." He said, "Ye shall not do so with that which the Lord hath given us." You will not divide improperly the things that the Lord has given us. In other words, we're not going to be greedy, David said, over the things the Lord has allowed us to go take back. It wasn't the 200 that went and fought that got the stuff back, David recognized. It was the Lord. It was the Lord that put it in his hand. So he had no more ownership over it than he did before when it wasn't in his hand. Because the Lord decided whether it went in his hand or not. Do we all have to make that choice with everything the Lord gives us? If we hold back from the Lord that which He's asked us to give, not asked us, that's what He's commanded us to give, are we not doing the same thing? Are we not taking ownership over a part and dividing a part that is not ours? We have to recognize that everything that comes to us comes from God. God asks for 10%. God asks for offerings. He does. We keep the 10%. I don't know. I'm not saying giving 10% creates this monetary blessing. Maybe it will. Maybe it won't. I know God blesses. But I know keeping it won't allow God to bless. How can He bless that? Don't put yourself in that position. And I don't have a dog in the fight, okay? I'm trying to help you.
Amen.
Don't put yourself in that position, because you want to be in a position where God can bless you. He can continue to bless you. The things that God gives you, honor it and understand where it came from. None of us are that smart. None of us are that good. None of us can get there without Him. None of us really know what to do. I've seen the people who are supposed to know what to do. I've spent a lot of time with them. They don't know what to do. They really don't. We learn how to look like we know what to do. They train for that. But it don't make you know what to do anymore. God knows what to do. And that's who we can trust to make us smart, to make us make the right decisions. Only God. So when God blesses that, what are we going to do? We're going to hold it back? We're going to divide it? We're going to give it to the bar? We're going to give it to the places we shouldn't go? We're going to buy those channels on TV that we're not supposed to watch?
Yeah.
Not with God's money. Don't do it. For who will hearken unto you in this matter? But as his part is that goeth down to the battle, so shall his part be that tarrieth by the stuff. And they shall part alike. And it was so from that day forward that he had made a statute and an ordinance for Israel this day. And when David came to Ziklag, he sent of the spoil unto the elders, don't miss that, of Judah, even to his friends, saying, behold, a present for you of the spoil of the enemies of our Lord, to them which were in Bethel, and to them which are in the south Ramoth, and to them which were in Jattir, and to them which were in Aror, and to them which were in... This is getting difficult, guys. Okay, we'll skip that because I don't know where they were. And to them which were in Rachel, and to them which were in the cities of the Jeremelites, and to them which were in the cities of the Kenites, and to them which were in Hormah, and to them which were in... He was spreading it all around. All right? And he didn't have to hold on to it, because he knew if there was more that God wanted him to have, he doesn't have to clutch to what's in his hand. It's really a question of how big is God. And it's not really how big is God, because God's big. It's how big is your God. Have you limited your God by doubting Him? Don't do it. He's big enough. Don't cling to the things that you can touch because you think God doesn't have any more. Don't cling to your energy and your time because you don't think God can give you more energy and more time. Don't cling to your talents and put it in places that it doesn't belong. If you're a singer, don't shoot for the tip jar. Don't waste it there. God gave it. He's got more. If God's blessed you with finances, don't clutch to it. He can use you to help His kingdom, and He's got more. If God's blessed you with position, don't waste it. Influence people. Be kind to people. Love people. Make people's lives better. Don't worry about it. Don't act like everybody else, because that's the way you got to protect your spot, because you got to look like everybody else. Those people around you aren't keeping you in that spot. They're not protecting you. They can't. They don't know how. They're not big enough. They don't know what to do, remember? God knows what to do. God's the protection. God's got the vision into the future. God made it. Y'all ever seen the Hubble telescope? Y'all know what I'm talking about? It just hit an anniversary. I forget the anniversary, but I was reading it the other day. It takes pictures deep into space. It takes pictures of thousands of galaxies. You ever seen that picture with the thousands of galaxies? Little bitty galaxies. It's called Hubble Deep Field. If you've never seen it, go Google it. There's galaxies peppered like stars in the sky. You can't count them. I think they're claiming there's 3,000 in that one frame. But I don't know how they counted them. I guess We pay people to do a lot of goofy things. But I stared at that. I stared at that image over and over. You know what a galaxy is? You know what a planet is? We're on one. Okay. Okay. You got a planet. Then you got a sun. You got a star in the middle of that. That creates a solar system. And then, way bigger than the solar system is a galaxy. Way bigger. And then there's a bunch of galaxies, more than you can count, in just one field of view. It didn't happen by accident. God did it. God did it. We've been alive for a long time. We've been studying God's creation for a long time. And we can't even explain the basics yet. Go to the doctor and ask him why you're hurting. See how long it takes to figure it out. See how many times they change the medicine. It's trial and error. They're practicing. They are. They don't know. They're supposed to know. They learn how to act like they know. They know how to give you confidence that they know, but they don't know. They don't know. They're building computers that are supposed to figure it out. That's just based on data being fed from a bunch of people that don't know. At least they'll get to the wrong answer quicker. You know, there are people that believe this all just happened. Just the chain of events lined up. The temperature was right. Maybe there was a lightning strike in a puddle. And it all just kind of started forming. And then it evolved and it evolved. And it adapted and it evolved. Y'all heard me talk about the watch, right? If you look at the whole universe and everything I just described and all the things I didn't describe that are so complex we don't know anything about it. All that just happened. Well, who's got a watch in here? Okay, I won't take anybody's watch. I would get Brother Mike's, but I know he's probably got a lot of. I probably couldn't afford to hold it. But if I took a watch apart, if I just took it apart, took the pieces, and I threw it right there on the floor, and we walked away for about 3 billion years, that's long enough, right, for things to happen? We're going to wait for something serious to happen, so I'll give it billions. I'll give it 3 billion years for something to happen. We come back in 3 billion years, and we sift through the rubble, dig in the ground because the sun, sand, and the ice age. I don't know what's going to happen in the next 3 billion years, but my imagination is going crazy. I bet you I wouldn't find an assembled working watch. It's too complex. Those things don't just happen. God makes it happen. God made it all happen. God's got it under control, and He's making it happen for you. Make sure you're serving a big God. If you've got your God right-sized and you're studying your Bible and you know the God of the Bible and you can trust that God the way David trusted that God and the way others have trusted that God, you can keep yourself in a position that God can bless you. You can keep yourself from getting in a position where God can't bless you. We don't want to get ourselves in a spot where God can't bless you. Get out on your marriage and watch it crumble. Watch the kids go crazy. Watch the grandkids go crazy. Watch your friends go crazy. Break something like that out. God can't bless you. Start cheating away God's money. Start gambling away God's money and watch it fall apart. God can't bless you. Start lying. Start running around. Maybe dabble a little bit in some of the things of the devil and see how things start to fall apart. God can't bless that. But those things are obvious, aren't they? Those things are obvious. Those are the big stuff that we look for and we judge other people for. We're too good for that. We'd never do that. What about our pride? Become prideful. That's all Saul did. He was a pretty good leader. He had God's blessing for a while. He had a kingdom. He just got prideful. Lost the ability to be blessed. What about Moses? Moses was chosen. He was chosen to do something big. He was chosen to go take on Pharaoh to his face. To his face. He was given the power of a rod that would turn into a serpent. He was given help. He was given followers. He was watching seas part. He had God's blessing. Then he got a little prideful. He got a little angry. Got a little frustrated. He got in a position where God couldn't bless. He can't bless that. Please protect yourself. Please protect your blessing. Nothing else is worth it. Nothing else that anybody can offer you. Nothing else that's dangled in front of you. Nothing else is worth it. It's just not. All right, thank you for your attention this evening.